Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry, and this is Hell No, the Radio Show. Hell No, the Radio Show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. We give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and above all, social awareness. So go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry and share your thoughts on our discussion stirring topics on tonight's Hell No episode. That telephone number is, same number every week, 718-508-9419. Then when you're prompted, dial option number 1 to be brought in to chat with us live. Again, that telephone number, 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take calls in the order we receive them. We can also receive an email anytime at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Also, find our episodes on demand anytime on our Facebook page or Twitter. Partial support comes from Hell No, the Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry is going to tell us about tonight's sponsors now.
Our longtime friend, wonderful sponsor, and incredibly skilled body worker and massage therapist is Jane Flint. Ms. Flint has been doing this wonderful occupation for over 35 years. She is the best of the best. She's as good as they get. I say this every week. I mean it every week. And you need to go see her. This is the time of year when you can get gift certificates for loved ones and family members. I mean, it's a wonderful gift. It really is. The gift of massage, gift of health. Ms. Flint is schooled in over 15 different disciplines of massage therapy, activated stretching, and other forms of body work. She is the absolute top of her field. It is a situation where if you've never been to a professional massage therapist, you'd be starting at the top if you go to see Jane. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Phone number there is 321-9030, area code 414. Again, 321-9030, area code 414. It's only about 2 blocks off the freeway, and if you're within 100 miles, believe me, ladies and gentlemen, it is worth the drive. If you mention our show, here's the biggie. You'll get $10 off your first appointment. So please, go see her. Treat yourself. Treat someone else. Enjoy an incredible professional massage. Hello, Nick.
Hey, Terry. How are you tonight?
We'll just move on to another subject. yeah. Mm-hmm.
Fair enough.
Yeah, fair enough. I never got to tell my Verizon story, so I guess I'll start out with that one, and please feel free to ask questions or interject as I go along on my mile-long Verizon journey here.
Cannot wait. Popcorn ready.
I have been a Verizon customer for a significant length of time, years. It's kind of like voting for president. It's the lesser of the evils for me. And I have had nothing but problems with these Samsung phones. I had an iPhone originally, and I had nothing but problems with the iPhone. So I want to be perfectly fair about this. I had an i5 that just was awful. So I ended up with a Samsung S5, I believe it was. Thing was dialing people I didn't even have a reason to talk to. Did that all by itself, which I was told couldn't happen. Absolutely can't happen. One day, as I'm in the Verizon store itself and my phone is laying on the counter, it dials somebody that I haven't talked to in 2 years. The gentleman there, it's blah, 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 blah. Never seen this before, blah, 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 blah. Many of the issues that I had with that phone, I would talk to people when I was traveling or, you know, on the airplane or what have you. And they would tell me the same stories. So I'm sorry, but that bullshit don't float. They continually try to convince us that, you know, that this has never happened before. You're the only one in the world this has ever happened to. On and on and on. Just like the folks with the S7s with the exploding batteries, which are now banned from all airlines, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. So I had to go to an S7, but not the variety that blew up the batteries. And that phone, within a few weeks, was acting up terribly. People couldn't hear me when I was talking. By the way, the mics on these Samsung phones are awful. They're absolutely terrible. They could not be worse. They're in a terrible position. The least little bit of pocket lint, they jam them up, hear you. The signal sucks. I mean, what are they doing to us? As I've fondly said over and over again, we now have phones that will do virtually everything except make phone calls. So I'm spending hours in the Verizon store, back and forth, up and down. It's not doing this. It's supposed to do that. I'd lost the ability to do the Google function. And then they couldn't fix it at all. So finally they said, okay, we're going to order a new phone for you. So they order a new phone. No phone comes. About 5 weeks later, my neighbor comes over, and he travels a great deal. He works as an electrician, but he works out of state. Hands me a package that had been misdelivered to him. So there's my phone. I take it to the Verizon store, and I'm trying to get the phone switched over. Almost 3 hours to make this happen, with them promising on bended knee that I wouldn't lose anything because of the way they were doing it. If I had put $1 million on that, I'd be a much richer man today. I lost all kinds of things. Time and time again, I've been in this Verizon store. I'm spending half my life going to Verizon stores, listening to the old pious platitudes of, oh, I'm so sorry you feel that way, sir. If Lily Tomlin were only in business doing her famous recordings today and do it on the cell phone companies, she blasted AT&T, well, time to get all of them. It's just remarkable how much of our lives, Nick, we spend with these damn phones going bad, not working properly, making calls we don't want, being spied on by the government, and it does it for you. Remember the days when you had to have a warrant to be able to listen to people's phone calls? I do. As an attorney, Nick, what's your view?
On what aspect of that?
Oh, on any of it, man. You just pick a point, you know, what the hell.
I mean, expectation of privacy.
Pick a point, I don't care.
I'll tell you this, the expectation of privacy that you have, you may be waiving that every time you click through everything you need to click through just to get the phone to work. The first time you log on, you are agreeing to things. You call them click wrap agreements. You're agreeing to things all the way through, and possibly even agreeing that in the event you have a dispute with the provider, that you have submitted to binding and mandatory arbitration, which ends there, and you,
by the way,
actually never have access to a real courtroom. So that's fun.
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, because I actually read that just today in part of the agreement. You know, I'm wading through all of this legalese. There is so much bullshit in there, it's just beyond belief. I bet if we took a survey of how many people have ever read completely through that thing, the numbers are. Then I would like to see what the numbers are of the people who completely understood what it said. What do you think?
0.001%? Yeah, very so small. I mean, it's true. Also, when you go buy purchase a vehicle, you're declining all the extra coverages and add-ons and this and that, and you're giving up your right to this and that. You know, you click through how many pages of agreements? No one has the time to sit there and read. And what if you don't? And if you don't, what happens now if you don't like any of those terms that are in there? What are you gonna? Yeah, I guess your options are agree or turn around and walk out, and the door swings. Bye bye. It's not like they're in a position to renegotiate the terms or pen any of the language. So, you know, if you say I don't agree to this portion or this paragraph, the guy's gonna look at you. Come on, man. Nothing they can do about it. You know, no phone. I mean, it's they hold all the cards, and I don't know why it isn't quicker to get some of these problems addressed. Every time I've gone into the Sprint store, and even though you can make an appointment, it still takes a while, and you're still sitting there for forever, and it's frustrating. And I've had pretty good experiences with Sprint, and I have the newer S7, the Samsung S7, and it's worked well for me, but some people talk about the automatic upgrades and people having problems on their phone whenever they download the software upgrades that it keeps reminding you to do. And, you know, unless you go through sometimes and clean out, there's a lot of spyware and a lot of other stuff that gets on the phone. And, I mean, and I suppose at the end of the day, if you're using one of these things, you have to realize that your expectations of privacy are your expectations of privacy are you're decreasing your own expectations of privacy every time you agree to the terms of these apps that you download, because they say we want to access your phone, we want to see all this stuff, you know, we want to access everything. And so you're slowly giving it away, it's just, it is what it is. And yeah, I don't know anyone who – now kids have them. Everyone has a phone now. And it just – I don't know. I don't like it. I don't like that people have it tied to them like a leash, some people, and they expect you to. So, you know, oftentimes when people text each other, they have this expectation of immediate – response, and people will say, well, I know that you saw my text. Well, not everyone. Sometimes I leave my phone behind and go to the grocery store and come back and I've missed calls or whatever. I'll get it then. But, you know, I like using my desk phone for a lot of my business calls. I don't need these people calling me on my cell phone left and right. You know, I don't know why any of us need to be that accessible all the time. And it leads me to one of my stories today. I saw about the city of Denton passed a no cell phone, no handheld device policy ordinance, I guess banning anything from phone calls. They used to have a no texting ordinance, so they already had that, but now they have this other ordinance. And I can understand that these things are passed in all sorts of towns and counties and states. And, you know, long-standing tradition, at least here in the state of Texas, as far as the state has gone on interfering and intervening with legislation to, you know, a lot of things that they say is that we're not in the business of micromanaging how people drive their cars. You know, we expect people to be responsible. And I always think that's a good policy. And, you know, when I see these ordinances passed and the local paper puts it out, all these people are clapping their hands and jumping for joy that the new ordinance will, you know, I saw someone's statement that said, well, now this will prevent anyone else from being hurt, like, you know, little Bobby Sue who got hit by someone who was texting and blah, blah, blah. And my thing about it is passing a law is not that doesn't fix the problem, because you're assuming people are going to obey or follow the law. And, you know, the ticket for texting or using the phone is not that much. And a lot of police don't enforce those things around here, and most people have tinted windows anyway, so it kind of seems stupid. And what my comment to it was, instead of more laws, we need to spend resources on educating people, putting out more public service announcements, and letting people know about distracted driving. Better parenting, and we need parents to crack down on their kids and what their kids are doing. And, you know, you see them texting or doing, you know, talking on the phone and driving, you know, take the phone away, smack them upside the head, don't be an idiot. You know, also tell them to your friends. When, you know, when people say, you know, someone sends you a text and you wait till later, sorry, I was driving, you know, I don't use my phone while I'm driving or something, like, just get the idea out there, like, pay attention, don't be on the phone. We have enough construction, enough idiots driving around anyways. You know, so anyways, just basic safety education, awareness, and discussion among people is a good idea. Just making another law doesn't help anything. You know, we have too many laws, too many problems. Why do we need another law?
You know, one of our favorite subjects, Nick, too many laws. We need to start taking laws off the book. Every one law, that new law that they put on, they should take three off.
They should. And that's like what Donald Trump is talking about doing with a lot of things.
That would take forever. That would take forever to whittle it down, but at least it would be going in the right direction. We are so damnably overregulated. Can't do anything anymore without breaking some law somewhere and putting yourself at risk. And when they want you, if they want you, they've always got something they can get you with. And if you're wondering who they are, you know what? Nick and I are wondering too, because we're not sure who the hell runs this country anymore. And one of the worries that I have about Mr. Trump is that he may be pushing the wrong buttons. And I'm not talking about nuclear warfare. I'm talking about people's buttons. And I hope that his personal security is really, really substantial, because, you know, he's bucking the flow. Good for him. We applaud him for doing it. But it's a dangerous thing to do. And, you know, we sit here and we wonder who in the hell really does run the country. And I wonder how much he knows about that. I wonder how informed he is about the people who are the, well, I hate to call them movers and shakers, but the people who really have control. I wonder if he knows these people. I wonder if he's involved with any of these people. I don't know. I don't know. I just hope he keeps himself safe long enough to do some good for us, if that's what he's going to do. And we should give him that chance, give him a chance to do well for us. I applaud all his efforts for getting in. He worked hard. He deserves whatever acclaim he's earned by this. And we hope that he will take the people of this country into consideration, watch out for us, and make us great again, as he says he will. So enough of that for the moment, but damn, get rid of the laws. You know, one good 100-page book would probably take care of everything we needed forever. Put common sense back into law and law enforcement. Most of the laws we just simply don't need, and so many of them were the result of individuals who had a particular ox that was gored, you know, as the old saying. I guess people don't even know what that means anymore. I'll have to use a different metaphor, but
the illusion of safety through laws is what irritates me. Is
that's
it's people
it's just
think, well, if we have all these laws, that we are safe, and the law is just a piece of paper. You know, when you have a domestic violence or a family violence situation, and people are getting divorced, they get an order of protection. Well, the order of protection is just a piece of paper. And if the person wants to violate the order of protection, they're probably doing a calculation in their head, depending on where you are, how long it might take the cops to get there. You know, if you live out in the country, you might be able to violate that order, protective order, take care of business, whatever you want to do. If you're the bad guy, be well on your way to halfway to the next county before anyone is anywhere near you. You know, I mean, it's... And people think, well, I've got this order of protection, so I'm safe. It's, you know, it. I don't know. You know, again, with too many laws, it's, you know, when people see these laws too, they almost expect that their freedom, their constitutional freedoms or Fourth Amendment protections, people give these things up so readily. Because they just believe, well, everyone else is regulated, and, you know, my area, neck of the woods, might not be there, but if we're not, I mean, people just roll right into it, you know, no one objects. We just read about it and move on. It's frustrating.
Yeah, it is. I, once again today, was the recipient of the award for most damage caused by bad communication. And I don't know anymore. Communication in this country has dropped to the level of a garden slug. No, I take that back. They at least leave slime trails that other slugs can read and understand. Nick, you and I have talked about this over and over and over again, but the ability of Americans to communicate with each other has plummeted, absolutely plummeted. We are rife with bad feelings, misunderstandings, mess-ups, screw-ups, you name it. And once again, the idea that laws or regulations or something help us, this is another place where the only thing that will help us is good teachers, better curriculum, and the right types of communication skills being imprinted into our students and young people. Or else, man, we're destined for the sty. You know, we really are. I think we're in the sty already. The pig's left. We're in it. So, anyhow, yeah. As we sit there and scratch our heads in I don't know, man. Shall we go into choral speaking with each other?
You know, when you, it's, yeah, why don't we talk about communication? And one positive thing that I think I can, you know, I try to always find something good to say. And mm-hmm. I've noticed a lot of folks who have fallen off from Facebook making phone calls and still communicating with people. I got birthday wishes from people I'm no longer on Facebook with. And I thought that was kind of nice. And I plan to write out Christmas cards and send them out this year. And it's been people have been randomly asking me for my address and clients of mine and things. So I plan to at some point sit down and write out a bunch of Christmas cards. Might sit and do it by my fire, and brings me to talking about some winter safety and fireplace safety particularly. It's always important to check the fireplace out every year before the first time you use it, make sure that birds haven't made some nest or something in the top mm-hmm. that's going to obstruct the, you know, the flow
well,
of smoke.
Nick,
you know,
stop the presses.
Ashes and everything in them.
Stop the presses. Stop the presses. It's time for our semi-regular, irregular feature, Taste Joke of the Evening.
Oh.
And it has to do with fireplaces. Mommy, Daddy just fell in the fire. Well, poke him up. It's cold in here.
Good. Very good. Good
it's
job,
my fireplace
Barry.
Joke. It's my fireplace
it's a great
joke.
Great fireplace joke. Excellent fireplace joke.
Okay.
But not as much of a joke if your house burns down because the fireplace hasn't been cleaned or checked in 20, 30 years.
Build up. Don't burn pine, by the way, folks. Don't burn your Christmas tree. Leaves a very bad bunch of creosote on the inside of your chimney. That is flammable. It's loaded with tars. And what Nick is saying about getting your chimney cleaned, very, very good idea. I would leave it to the people who know how to do it, unless you want to take a quick course in chimney sweeping. A rope with a chain on the end of it that's linked the right way can do a rough cleaning on most chimneys, but you have the danger of going up on the roof, the danger of leaning on a chimney that might not be sound, and certainly the danger of leaving black soot all over your house if it decides to go woof and go the wrong way. So, you know, you're best off talking to a pro on those chimney issues unless you're real confident in what you want to do. Go ahead, Nick. I didn't mean to.
I absolutely also agree on different types of wood. I went to a firewood place today. It's really good just to kind of like ask around at gas stations and, you know, people who are local and know all the people who get trees and wood put together in
mm-hmm.
big piles
mm-hmm.
and sell them. The guy at the Quick Trip told me that the the big bait outlet shop for the lake down the road has a big firewood pile, and I went there, and I mean they have, I mean it's huge. It's probably like a 50-foot tall stack. Mm-hmm. I mean it's huge. Lots of firewood, and you know they'd get out the log splitters and you know have it all stacked up there, and the guy had ash and oak, a bunch of things like that. So you know always good to know what you're burning. I've seen people burn things like discarded railroad ties. That's not always good. Or telephone poles that are used. I mean, that's treated wood. That's not, you shouldn't be burning that. You have to really watch out for things that are going to put noxious chemicals and fill your house with that. That's not good. You know, so know what you're doing with that. And cleaning out the fireplace from last year is always good too. Broom and shovel. Not vacuum cleaners don't always like cleaning up fireplace ash, but you know, also making sure that you don't have a bunch of flammable stuff right by your fireplace. Probably not good to put the Christmas tree too close to the fireplace, you know, because depending on the wood that you're burning, you might get the flyaways. Oh yeah, make sure to use a good fireplace cover and keep that sucker covered up, because they do sometimes little flyaway pieces can fly out and sends the carpet. I mean, just good all around to be safe and deal with fire. And, of course, don't go to sleep with a roaring fire. That's not always good. Find a way to put it out and just be safe with it. Make sure your flue is open and working properly. Know what the flue
is.
That's
your fly, but your flue.
Right.
Did your flue fly or never mind. It could get very complicated.
But so, it is going to get cold. We've got a cold front coming in, Terry. I think everywhere in the U.S. is bundling up right now, if not the places that have been bundled up for a while.
Well, very quickly to add to a few things that you were talking about as far as winter safety. When you're driving in your car, it's good to have a little kit to keep with you. Those metallic-looking space blankets are a really, really good idea. An extra heavy coat and a pair of mittens and a hat, also really, really good idea. You get stuck somewhere, you've got some extra bundling up you can do. Next thing is make sure you've got one of those little collapsible snow shovels or even a full-size snow shovel in the trunk if you still have a vehicle that has a trunk. Beyond that, think about the fact that you could be stuck somewhere for quite some while. Have some dehydrated food with you, and it's also a not bad idea to have some sort of liquid. Even though it's going to freeze, you can warm it up to a certain extent or crush it up enough. It's not a good idea to drink snow. Doesn't do good things for you, and it's going to chill you down pretty badly. Whereas if you've been driving, likely any fluid that you've had in the car is probably going to be still at a liquid or in a liquid state. Beyond that, one of those little weather radios is always cool, especially the hand crank kind that also has a light on it, and a spare flashlight with a good bright bulb on it. Handy stuff to have for the winter time. Very much so. And certainly something to charge your cell phone with. A lot of these little radios now, you can charge your cell phone with them. You can crank them and charge up the cell phone, so you don't need the battery off your car if your battery's dead. All sorts of good little things. They make good Christmas presents, too. You really do. And, of course, if you're living in the appropriate places, ice scrapers for the windshield and other windows. Well, today I thought we would do something to show the brighter and funnier side of Christmas. So I talked Nick into searching and searching and searching until his little fingernails were bleeding for a silly Christmas song. And Nick, did you do it?
I did. It's Wreck the Malls by Bob Rivers.
All righty. Wreck the Malls by Bob Rivers.
Your cash for no good reason. La 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 la. Push your charge card to the the malls with my friend Charlie. Prize who came out on his holly.
Malls by Bob Rivers. He's done some great stuff over the years. Did you ever hear that one before, Nick?
No. Is that? I'm going to put that at early 80s, maybe? Am I right? Am I close?
No, it's just later than that.
Huh.
But it's good stuff.
Sounded very 80s.
Did a lot of. Well, he, you know, he does mimic things, and. He did, he did at least five of those that I remember. He did an album called Twisted Christmas, and it's great. It's a great album. It really is a great album. So a little treat for everyone, a little holiday treat. So where we go from here, Nick? What
Christmas shopping. Christmas shopping.
Thing?
Woo-hoo. At the big malls. Not at the big malls. How about just on your cell phone? That's what I did last night. Wasn't anything much on TV. Started thinking, what am I going to get people? And I found a lot of books online. I'm now on Amazon. And found that Amazon Prime is really cool. You pay a little bit extra. And if you buy enough stuff on there, you know, you don't pay shipping. So that's kind of a good deal. You can get all sorts of things that you don't have to. Think about how much we spend on gas driving out to get stuff. And you can just have it delivered right to your house. It was a good deal. I found all sorts of cool things. Things that you have to, you know, my brother's a geologist. Got him a funny T-shirt with a geologist saying on it. Got my sister-in-law a book about art. And got another book for my niece. Just took care of a lot of it. I don't know, Terry, what about you? Do you like doing shopping online or do you do Christmas shopping at the big mall?
More so at the mall than online, but not a lot at the mall. I prefer smaller stores, specialty stores, and that sort of thing. Every once in a while, you find a nice little stand or kiosk somewhere that has some unusual gifts that you don't expect to find. I do some catalog shopping. If someone's nice enough to send me a catalog, I'm nice enough to look at it. And
wow.
Often I'll find something
really
in
there. Really, a
catalog?
There. Huh.
Yep, and I just ordered a couple of things from L.L. Bean for someone for Christmas this year. And the L.L. Bean people, when I called up, I got a real person. I got a live person. I didn't get any recordings. I got a live person. And you know what? She wasn't in Bangladesh or New Delhi or any of the other myriad places that they use for bumping you to. She was in Maine. She was very pleasant and incredibly helpful in helping me find sizes and colors and that sort of thing. I mean, it was a good experience. Hell yeah for L.L. Bean. They still have very nice merchandise, good quality, a little bit on the frumpy side, but you got to know what to buy. But, man, it's just such a pleasure to shop in a situation where they take care of you. They know their products. They know how to navigate their way through the various things that they carry. They will bring things to your attention so that you don't make mistakes. They'll bring things to your attention so you get more value for your money. I mean, that's great. So a big hell yes for L.L. Bean. It was a really pleasant experience working with him and shopping with him. And hell no for Verizon. Good Lord. So, yeah, have we said that enough? Oh, by the way, my screen protector, I had one of those tempered glass ones, right? The first day I got it, the thing cracks. Oh, but it's got a lifetime guarantee. So I bring it in to the Verizon store, and they say, oh, yeah, but not here. What do you mean not here? It's where I got it. Well, the only place you can get the replacement is online or at a kiosk about 11 miles away. What? I thought that this was a Verizon product. No, it's made by another company. We just sell it. Okay, so I go and look online, and they want as much as the screen is worth for replacing it. What a scam. So I go to the mall where allegedly it's a little cheaper in the kiosk, and guess what they don't have in stock? My tempered glass screen protector. So I went down, you know, like five kiosks away, and a young Mideastern gentleman had all sorts of phone goodies there. And for less than the cost of the service charge for replacing the screen, I got a brand new screen. He put it on, did a nice job, cleaned it up real nicely, handed it back to me, and charged me $10. So much for my warranty. Yippee. You still there?
You really love Verizon. I'm just thinking about how much you love Verizon.
Well,
I'm wondering what you're going to give them for Christmas. A lump of coal,
yeah,
I'm figuring.
Something that their proctologist can only find. That would be my choice. Lordy. I wonder, is Santa listening? We're getting close to Christmas. Do we see him out there anywhere?
No, because he's probably busy getting everything ready. And,
taping the elves to the ceiling as punishment or something.
Something like that. But I absolutely have gone to the direction of believing in Santa again. I think everyone should. I think it's a good thing to believe in. You know what? What also, we would be remiss to not remember history today. Today is December 7th, which is the day that we remember the attack on Pearl Harbor, December 7th, 1941. Any thoughts on Pearl Harbor, Terry? Have you ever been there, by the way?
I shouldn't say that. I guess I've been there, sort of, kind of past there. But my thoughts on Pearl Harbor have always been kind of very simple. Tragic is one word I would use. And was all of that really necessary? I don't know. You know, I wasn't alive during those times. I certainly wasn't there. So I don't really have a right to comment. I can wonder though. I can certainly wonder. And that whole thing, the whole thread of what happened with World War II, with, you know, starting out with Nazi Germany and working its way through Europe and Eastern Europe, and then down south into Africa, and then finally, you know, with the Japanese getting involved. It's a very bizarre thing when you look at it and try to follow the timeline. It's just very, very bizarre. What the hell possesses us to do what we do to other people? I don't know. I don't know what in the world possesses us to do that. Do you not find that odd that we're so quick to get into a war that nobody really thinks about the horrible consequences of it, the deaths, the screams, the terror, the awfulness of war?
Most times
said in the song, what is it good for?
Most times I think that being the U.S. has an interesting position in a lot of conflicts, military conflicts and wars and situations that we never started, but being who we are, big power, powerful country with a big military, we've often been brought in to save the day. And, you know, it is, it's a waging war is something that is just part of, it's just part of the way things are. You know, I don't know that I'll say it's part of human nature. It's part of the society. And at any rate, December 7th, 1941, 2,400 U.S. citizens were killed in that surprise attack in Pearl Harbor. So if anyone sees the flags there at half-mast today, that is why that is. Looks like Santa Claus is joining us out there. Terry, should we call and see how everything is going?
Let's bring him on. It's his time of year, man.
All right. Santa Claus, what is shaking, man?
How's life, guys? Good to hear you.
Hey, Santa. Getting ready for the big day?
In the holiday spirit, the weather here up north is starting to get chilly and a little bit of snow here and there. So things are starting to warm up for the holidays.
Well, what can you tell us? Are you going to be busy this year? You got a lot going on?
We do have a lot going on. It's going to be a good year. Every year is good. Seeing the kids, it's just so much fun to see and talk to the kids before Christmas Eve and things. It just makes it all worthwhile.
Well, I hope that I can convince you to stop at my house this year. I don't know what your schedule looks like, but we'd sure love to make sure that Santa makes a stop at our place.
Well, actually, Santa's got a surprise for you this year, actually. So, yes, he will definitely be at your house.
No, not the exploding whoopee cushion, please.
Well, that's the second one. That's not the first one.
Oh, that's the second. Okay. Okay. Well,
hey, Santa, what do the reindeer like to eat? What should kids be putting out this year?
Love carrots. They all love carrots.
Mm-hmm.
The reindeer all love carrots.
Carrots for the reindeers.
Mm-hmm.
Carrots for the reindeers. And what else? What else do those guys want or eat?
Quite honestly, reindeer love graham crackers.
Okay.
Didn't know that.
In mind, kids. Leave some graham crackers out for those guys. Absolutely.
That's the milk bone of reindeer food. Is graham crackers.
Hmm.
Absolutely. Hey, I think that Santa will also kind of agree. I don't know if you heard our segment on fireplace safety and fireplace and chimney cleaning. Santa probably is a big fan of clean chimneys, I would guess.
Well, actually, we missed the first half hour of your show. I couldn't get connected.
Hmm. Sounds like another one of those problems, Nick. We've got to do something about that. I apologize again, folks. Boy, time and time and time and time and time again, we are having problems. Goes down to what we were saying. No one seems to do their job, do it right. Nothing seems to work properly. And it feels like I'm in the Soviet Union in 1979.
Hmm.
You know, nothing works. That sucks.
Where you go to the vending machine and there's a little glass and everyone shares the same glass at the vending machine like that. Soviet Russia.
Yeah. I don't know. So what's a popular item this year, Santa?
Pokemon cards.
Uh-oh.
Very, very popular Pokemon cards.
Hmm.
But a lot of kids are expressing interest in both science and art. And one thing that I like to tell kids that like science and art is Legos. Santa can get you a Lego tree set, but who says you got to make a tree? You can make a bird. You can make a house. There's no Lego police. You can make whatever you want. It's fun to use your imagination. Just like coloring, reading about science, reading about, you know, it's all the same thing, using your imagination.
Well, and that's what I've always loved about the Erector sets. Santa, you know how fond I am of those things and the wonderful old all-metal Erector sets that had real honest-to-God electric motors with them and could make anything your mind could come up with.
Nuts and screws, together to attach
things? Learn skills, all sorts of building skills and engineering skills and good things like that. Man, it was fun. It was really fun. So,
great way
Nick,
to keep up.
What are you looking for Christmas? Do you have any suggestions for people?
I do like, on the art side, I do like the concept of these adult coloring books that are very intricate, thank you. You know, designs, and you pick the different numbers. My mother has one that takes place, it's an enchanted forest, and there's like bunny and deer heads and all sorts of interesting things in her enchanted forest. But a lot of people I know who have purchased and been, you know, received Christmas gifts with these coloring books have really enjoyed taking the time to tune everything out and hang out and get the colored pencils and color in those coloring books. It's very therapeutic. In addition to that, I try to get people useful things. Sometimes it's tough, though, to buy for people who seem to have everything, and the things they do like, they are very particular with their preferences, so it's tough to buy for some people, and you know, you end up kind of scratching your head, and I hate to do the gift card thing. I mean, I guess if you got friends, you know, real closely, you know, family or kids, and you want to give them something extra, gift card is always good, especially if it's to some store or place that they would never otherwise spend their own money there. You can get them some gift card and go there, but I've been trying to be creative and trying to find people gift ideas, and it's really difficult sometimes to find out what to get for people, and you know, just by going online and looking, someone told me, go to their Facebook page, see what they like, and boom, there was my sister-in-law. She liked a book about art, in fact, and went boom, bought her the book on Amazon.com and told her, hey, maybe Santa will get this for you, hint, hint.
Mm-hmm. Holy Spider-Man, Santa would just get me an Amazon.
An Amazon account?
No, an Amazon.
Just an Amazon?
Just an Amazon, man. You know, very statuesque.
How about the gift of movies past? Great movies, classic movies that people don't watch anymore. You know, instead of what's on your Netflix, you know, boom, you have a, if you have a Blu-ray player or something like that. Things that we otherwise wouldn't go out and buy. That's the gifts that I like to give.
Well, I've actually had a sort of a penchant for finding some of those old flicks that you know, are in very limited supply on a disc here and there. I will also tell you one other thing. I have to switch back to Samsung for a moment. I just recalled something. They're taking the headphone jack out of their new 8 phone.
What?
The S8. Yep, they're taking it right out. Won't be there anymore. Don't you love it when they dictate what you want? When they dictate to the consumer how it's going to be, they're taking it out. Allegedly, they need a little more room for battery, so we'll just take that out of there. Oh,
what?
Good
no
Lord.
Way. How are you supposed to plug your phone in and listen to music on your headphones?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Now you will no doubt have an app and some sort of attachment that you have to pay for.
Huh.
Sounds
like
fun,
all
huh, guys?
Wireless headphones or something?
Yeah. Hey, you know, one of the things we've never really talked about, we mentioned it on one show, are these various internet dating services, and we haven't had people call in to tell us what their results have been or how things have worked or not worked or what have you. So, folks, keep that in mind. We'd like to get like a whole slew of you calling in and letting us know your experiences with internet dating.
I've totally given up on that concept. There's just no way.
Well,
no.
After two Holsteins and a llama, I don't blame you.
Oh, you've been to my town. There's not a lot out there.
Yep.
Here, this is interesting. I just saw a study that says driving on less than 5 hours of sleep is like driving drunk, says a study. Interesting.
Gosh, that's a surprise.
You know, I'm surprised now that we don't have a law about that, Terry. I'm surprised they're not cracking down on, you know, moms and dads against tired drivers. You know, oh, I'm sorry, were you up late working? And you,
punch a button next to your bed.
Right.
That you
slept
for X amount of time.
Exactly. Submit it to the Federal Sleep Recording Foundation. That will also, you can maybe install a sleep monitor in your bedroom or wherever you're sleeping nearby so that the thing can make sure that you're getting all that good sleep and you're not faking it. We wouldn't want people to fake their proper amount of sleep and then function and drive. What's next will also be the good or bad mood. Remember, don't drive mad. Maybe that can be the next safety campaign.
Yeah. You know,
don't drive mad. Like, you have to be in a good mood. Your car will have a sensor that reads, you're like an EKG, but from some sensor in the dash, it'll read your eye movements and say if you're in a good or bad mood. And it'll shut the car down if you start getting angry. Just shut it down right where you are.
They're gonna have to check testosterone levels, I think, on some of those people. Because, you know, it's just, that's all I can think of when I see some of these fools on the road. Is, you know, you're living on testosterone, not rational thought. The hormones are way too potent. Yuck. So, if we had to pick a favorite Christmas carol, if Santa's still with us, what would your favorite Christmas carol be, Santa? Christmas song?
That's a difficult question. Ideally, you know, the Bing Crosby, David Bowie duet was always a favorite of mine. But deep inside, the rock and roll song, Christmas songs, you know, gives some more excitement to the holiday. So I'm kind of going, I can go either way, quite honestly.
Did you hear that, Nick?
I did.
Yep, Santa goes either way. You heard it, folks. You heard it first on Hell No, the radio show.
How progressive.
Oh, man. Yeah, things just go to hell here sometimes, don't they? Well, we want to thank Santa for joining us tonight. Absolutely. And we hope that all you girls and boys get what you deserve. Oh, yes.
Do you have people give their children lumps of coal in their stocking? Actually, you know, like tell. Can you imagine if you did that today? The kids would freak out completely.
They wouldn't know what it was. They'd eat it. They'd eat it. Ma, this jawbreaker don't taste so good.
I always tell kids that if they're not good, I don't give them coal. I give them a tomato, and they seem to think that's almost as bad.
The old tomato trick, huh?
Potatoes. And I said, in your Christmas sock? So that always seems to get them a little better, know what's going on better.
Well, as we carefully segue from there onto for the rest of Christmas, natural tree or artificial tree this year, Nick?
My tree is a fake tree. It's the same fake tree every year.
Sacrilege.
Yes. Yeah, well, you know, the real pine tree, I look at that kind of like having gasoline in my living room. And, you know, it's growing up, we always had real trees. My dad did advertising. One of his clients had a tree farm. And we'd always drive out there. And that was, I mean, it was fun, you know, drive out there and get the big tree and stuff it in the back of the Suburban and bring it home. And then, of course, there's you're dealing with pine needles until about March. You might wreck a vacuum or two in the process. But, I mean, there's nothing worse than the tree that gets too dried out that you've had in there too long and didn't give it water and, you know, try to get it out of your house, unless you put it in a big tree bag, which I highly recommend. It can be just a huge mess, but I don't know. When I did fire and safety and cert training, it is through FEMA, they showed us some of these videos of real videos of trees catching fire and how quickly it completely engulfed the living room. You know, so I don't know. I go with my fake tree, and I guess now though you can get some really good fake trees that people would have no idea that they're fake. So I don't know. What about you, Terry?
Well, I go for the real deal.
Yeah.
I like to go for the real deal. Yeah. I mean, that's, I guess, part of tradition for me.
Do you drive out into the middle of the woods?
No. No, I let someone else do the initial thing. But
it's interesting to hear you tell you about a tree farm. My father had a Christmas tree farm, and we sold trees for years, and the exact same thing. Give the family a bow saw, let them go out in the woods in the trees. They cut it down themselves. They haul it out. We may compress it for it and tie them up, but family comes out full of snow, happy as can be. It's like one of the best things that they've done in their life, and quite honestly, it was. I mean, everyone sees the trees, and they choose what they want and get down on their hands and knees to cut it down. It was a family experience.
Yep. Just like the Griswolds.
Mm-hmm. I already watched that once on TV.
Yeah. That's a pretty good one. The Griswolds Christmas Vacation movie. Yeah. So, with that said, with Santa on the line and with all the other stuff going on, we want to wish all of you a wonderful Christmas. You'll see us before then, but I think it's time for us to reflect a little bit, to try to have some of what the spirit of Christmas has, we hope, become over many, many, many hundreds of years, where Nicholas, a Norwegian toy maker, pretty much set the stage for all of this. And I know I'm going to get the hate mail from the Christians, but...
I was going to say the birth of Jesus has a little bit to do with it as well.
I'm sorry, guys, but before anybody connected those two, it was a winter solstice celebration among the Nordic people. No personal prejudice here, being Nordic myself. The story of Nicholas is a very wonderful story. And he was the original Santa Claus. He brought presents to all the people in the village that he lived in. He carved things out of wood. He was a woodcarver's apprentice. And just on a whim one year, he left a couple of little carved wooden figures on the stairways or walkways going up to the couple of village houses where some children lived who didn't have a lot. And they were just absolutely thrilled with it. And
you leave out shoes, and they put stuff in the shoes, right? I remember that.
That may or may not have been true. But we do know that he carved wood, he carved figures, carved things for the adults and the children. Both. So there it is. If you can find the story of Nicholas anywhere, there are a couple versions of it that are quite good. There's also a really well done movie that was done by a Nordic broadcast firm. I saw it about 4 or 5 years ago, just beautifully done. And it was a quite accurate portrayal of Nicholas, the man who became Saint Nick in Santa Claus, and how
there
he transitioned that way.
Good thing to go search for on Netflix or somewhere. You could probably find a movie about that anywhere online. And instead of going to Blockbuster, you can just get it right down from Google Videos, pay $3.99 or something like that, and boom, there you go.
Yep.
Good thing to check out. All right, that's about it. We're about out of time.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week. Bye.
Bye-bye now. See y'all next week.